Hour number two of Overtime, Fan Run Radio, Jake Miller, Davis Rangy. Hour number two is brought to you by our friends at Naff Naff Grill in Bearden. Davis, I had a good lunch, man.
What'd you get?
Got my go-to. Got the build-your-own pita with chicken, cabbage, onions, garlic sauce, and that good spicy red sauce. Cheer on the orange and white by supporting the orange and white at Naff Naff Grill, 6485 Kingston Pike in Bearden. Tell them Jake and Adam from Fan Run sent you. So we talked a little bit about Lane Kiffin in that last hour and where a realistic spot would be for him to end up. I do think that Auburn is probably on the top of his list. I don't know if he's on the top of theirs, but I think that's who they're going to go after. Because as you mentioned last hour, I'd mentioned as well that he's basically fighting for his job at this point.
Absolutely. I mean, this kind of feels like back in 2020. I mean, we're talking about the same guys in 2022 for Auburn that we were in 2020. Lane
right.
Kiffin, Hugh, I don't know if Hugh Freeze's been floated out there, but they were talking about that in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really know if Urban Meyer was, but, I mean, yeah, you're kind of looking at the same pool of guys.
I mean, you have to. I don't know where, because, like, that was a hire that I did not understand was the Brian Harsin hire. I was like, oh, what are they doing down here?
I was relieved because I thought they were going to hire Hugh Freeze for sure.
I did too, and now it's like, oh man, they're gonna have to do it again. And of course, everyone's thing back then, especially with Tennessee, it's like, oh, we can't have anybody that's a troublemaker. We can't have anybody that's been in any NCAA trouble. And you know, that's one of the reasons probably why we didn't pursue Jamie Chadwell. Now, I think that Jamie Chadwell, you know, being a Tennessee guy, you know, growing up 35 minutes north of here, same place I grew up, he probably would have taken the job, but I feel like he might have been hesitant to take it as well, just for the simple fact that he loves this place so much that it would have been devastating if it couldn't work out.
Kind of like Scott Frost in Nebraska.
Exactly. It's like, that's a place that Scott Frost loved, and they loved him, but it just didn't work.
And now it's awkward up there. I mean, I'm sure they'll love him as a player, but that definitely puts a stain on his legacy as a coach.
I mean, it's the same case with Philip Fulmer here. I mean, he did, you know, great things in the 90s, but at the same time, he took over a program that was already great, and he just took it to the mountaintop with what he had. You know, and good for him for doing that. You know, people want to say, oh, well, he won a championship with Johnny Majors players. First of all, that's false. It's like Peyton was recruited after Johnny Majors had already been fired, and then we won the title after Peyton had already left. And of course, you had the chance to get back to the national championship game in 01. You blew that away in Atlanta. And that was when it really started to take the downturn for Fulmer, was 2001 in Atlanta. I really think that's it, because he just never recovered after that, man.
No, and, you know, now that I've gotten older, I kind of understand where we were coming from in terms of firing him in 2008 after a 5-7 season.
Right.
I never understood it, because when I was young, my first season that I truly remember was us going to Atlanta in 2007, and then we fired him after that, and then we went through years and years and years of 5-7 coaches, and I'm like, well, Fulmer gets fired after 1 year of 5-7, and we keep these guys around with multiple 5-7s.
Something else a lot of people don't remember is 2005 was not a good year either. That was the first year we hadn't made a bowl game since the 80s, because we went 5-6 that year. Granted, it's now listed officially as 5-5 because the Alabama loss got vacated, and that's still one of the ugliest ball games I've ever seen in my life. It was 6-3 was the final score, because we fumbled on the goal line towards the end of the game, tied 3-3.
I just can't even imagine any kind, not only our game, but any game in today's college football, 6-3.
You know, we talked about hurricane games, too. Tennessee-LSU that year had to be played on a Monday because of Hurricane Rita. It was coming through and going through Louisiana, and it's like, okay, we're going to play this game on Monday. And Tennessee overcame a 21-point deficit to win in overtime, 30-27, behind Rick Clawson, Casey's younger brother.
Yeah, and then the next time we were down there is the infamous Dooley game, too many men on the field. I mean, you could have one player on the field. That snap going way over his head, it wouldn't have mattered.
Do me a favor. Look up the score from the 2000 Tennessee-LSU game.
2000?
2000.
Okay.
I'm trying to see how many one-score games we have played consecutively down in Baton Rouge. I think the last time we went to Baton Rouge was actually – did we go down there during – no, we didn't go down there during the Bush years.
2010.
2010 is the last time we went.
Dooley.
One-score game. 2005, one-score game. 2000 was a one-score game, if I'm not mistaken.
You are correct. 38-31, loss in overtime.
So the trend, lose by one possession, win by one possession, lose by one possession, win by one possession?
Looking like it. Interesting. Very interesting. That's crazy that you brought that up.
Yeah. So the past three times Tennessee has been to Baton Rouge, it has been a one-possession game. Two overtime games. 2000 overtime. 2005 overtime. 2010, one-score game, no overtime. 2022, one-score game, no overtime.
Oof.
And it's kind of lining up that way because we are a four-point favorite. 4.5 on FanDuel.
This game just makes me so nervous. It's another stepping stone like we talked about. This is the third stepping stone. Pitt was first, Florida was second. Now you got LSU. And
keep climbing that mountain.
Yep. You just go step by step. It's like the ladder. I guess that's a better term. Not stepping stone, but ladder.
You got to keep on climbing.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I like when I envisioned this game all summer long, I knew it was going to be a night game for sure.
That's exactly what I envisioned.
I was just convinced. I was like, we're going to go down there. It's going to be hostile. I had predicted, I think John Dunn had tweeted it, he was one of the LSU predictions back in like July. I said 45-42 Tennessee, but they ain't scoring 42.
No, I don't think their offense can do that. Which, granted, we didn't think Florida could put up 33 on our defense, and they did. I mean, your prediction might come true.
I mean,
LSU covers the spread in that scenario, but Tennessee gets the win.
Yeah. As bad as our defense is, as bad as our secondary is, they may put up 42. Who knows?
Okay, now I think I know what my prediction is going to be because I've been pondering what it was going to be, you know, all week and, you know, give myself 2 weeks to prepare for that. Kind of like, you know, Josh Heupel and company have 2 weeks to prepare to go actually play the game. But now that we've uncovered this, because I knew, I was like, I'm pretty sure the last few games in Baton Rouge have been close. And I was trying to figure out if there was another game in there since 2010. I don't think there has been.
Nope. We've only played them 2010, 2017, now 2022.
2011, we played them here.
Yes, that's what I was thinking of because didn't we play them here and we got absolutely obliterated?
Oh, that was awful. Good thing is I got to see Tyrann Mathieu play.
He is a dog indeed.
You ever stop and think about how crazy it is that, you know, if you've had season tickets through all these bad seasons, think about all the talent that has come through Alabama, LSU, Florida, Georgia, that you've got to see play.
Man, I know this wasn't one of our games, but you look back at that 2019 LSU-Alabama game, all NFL talent, all first round, Jamar Chase was guarded by Trayvon Diggs, Justin Jefferson, Joe Burrow, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Tua, Henry Ruggs, Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy. Like, it's insane to think about.
Like, just all the NFL talent that's been stacked on those rosters.
What's even crazier to think about is we had a chance to go down to Alabama that year and have a chance, but we all know what happened on that goal line.
That was the play that almost caused a breakup, a divorce, and a canceled marriage. The divorce didn't happen. The canceled marriage did not happen, as you all saw this past weekend. And, yeah, everything's all good. That was the closest I'd ever seen it come to happening, though. That is the angriest I've ever seen four men in a room, including myself.
I was just – someone told me, I was like, yeah, well, that's what happens when you're actually in a game with Alabama, because I had not really seen us be that close except 2015. But some of the calls in that game were egregious, and, you know, when you got to rig it for Alabama, they're going to make it pretty obvious.
I mean, that's Bama privilege.
Yep.
I mean, there's no other way to put it.
And
they're probably going to get the same privilege when they come up here in a few weeks.
See, that's what I was going to ask, because if they lose, I don't think it'll happen, but if they somehow lose to Arkansas this weekend and they come in here with one loss.
Oh, we're not winning that
game. No, no.
It's not even going to be close.
No. I don't care what we do. We can play a perfect game. The refs and the higher-ups in the SEC are not letting that happen.
But. No. And I think, too, that you want an undefeated Alabama.
Yes.
Coming into Neyland. You want to be undefeated yourself. And I'm not saying this will happen. I know Roman Harper said on Feinbaum or whatever show he was on the SEC Network that he wanted to apologize for saying that Tennessee would get 10 wins. He apologized because they're going to get 11. Mm. If you beat Alabama, I'm not saying we will, but if you do, and you lose to Georgia, and you go undefeated the rest of the year, you're in that college football playoff conversation.
Oh, my gosh.
See where I'm going with this? Now, if you lose to Alabama, but you beat Georgia, you're going to play Alabama again.
No.
But here's the thing with that. How hard is it to beat a team twice in college football? Think about how hard it is. It is very hard to beat a team twice.
It's hard, but
it's like beating a team three times in basketball. Just really hard to do.
You're throwing me off the rails here. I did not come in here expecting to talk about college football playoffs.
I'm not saying it will happen. I'm just saying hypothetically.
See, like, my thing is, like we just discussed, like, I saw things on Twitter talking about how the start time for LSU was at 11 and that they're trying to somehow rig it for Tennessee, which is hilarious because nothing's ever been rigged for us. But they're saying it's like a conspiracy because they want undefeated Tennessee versus undefeated Alabama.
Of course they do.
3:30 CBS. And, I mean, we talked about the refs, but if it's undefeated, I feel like they're going to let some things slide because could you imagine the ratings if it's like 24-24 or 31, like it's an overtime game?
Well, I mean, we were already the most watched game this past week.
Yeah, we always are. Pitt, too.
Yeah. And now you got to think, with Tennessee winning, you know what that means for these networks?
More money.
More money. More sponsors. And with more sponsors comes more ratings. Or more ratings comes more sponsors. You get what I mean?
Yes.
But the fact of the matter is, it's a topic of conversation, not just amongst us, but the national media as well. Stay with us. We're going to get more into this when we come back. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
Guys.
Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio, 865-546-8200, your number if you want to hop on with us this evening. Let's get Daniel in here. What's up, buddy?
How y'all doing this evening?
Doing pretty good, man. Trying to talk ourselves into an Alabama win.
I ain't buying what you're selling.
Well, I'm a pretty good salesman, man.
I don't know. We'll see. I just don't think we're there yet. I guess that's me still got the cup on, but I don't know. I think we can be competitive, but I wasn't buying us to be 9-3, and I think that's exactly where we're going to end up.
You think? Have you heard our theory yet, as far as the LSU game goes?
I've been tuning in. Refresh me, let me see if I do know what you're talking about.
So the last three games in Baton Rouge, 2010, one score game, we lost. 2005, one score game, goes to overtime, we win. 2000, one-score game goes to overtime, we lose. 2022, one-score game, no overtime, but we win.
Okay, I do remember because you were saying that it's lining up for maybe a marquee game with Alabama or whatever. Listen, we've never had breaks. So, yeah, God, yeah, give us a break for once. I mean, absolutely. I mean, whatever. I mean, I think it's a. I think it was a gift wrap to put it at 11, to put it at noon. I mean, I was. I'll put a
bow on it and give it to me for Christmas.
I'm floored. I'm floored that it happened to us because that crap never happens.
No, and everyone's like, oh, well, this is rigged. This is rigged. It's like, well, finally. Finally, we're getting somewhere. It's like, give us some of the bingo. SEC privilege for once.
Yeah, bingo. Everybody complaining about the CBS game.
Good. I mean, we ain't on it.
Just like Davis said, I mean, at the Pitt game, we brought in record numbers. It doesn't matter. I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, that noon game will be probably one of the highest rated noon games, you know, on and that's a marquee game for ESPN there. I mean, I don't get it. I think like I said, I'm a CBS hater. I don't get the love, but whatever. I know I've said it once, I've said it a thousand times, the quicker they get to the Big Ten, the better for me.
And I guarantee you next week, us on ESPN at 11 will have way higher ratings than Ole Miss and Kentucky do this week.
Dude, no doubt. We'll even have more numbers than the Georgia-Auburn game for the 3:30 that everybody's mad about on the 8th.
No one wants to watch that game. Come on.
No, I mean, like, and regardless, like you're saying, though, we will have more viewers than the Kentucky and Ole Miss game, which y'all bringing up a good point. Lane Kiffin's out of there, and he's always been out of there, but he's definitely out of there, right? I mean,
Oxford, oh, absolutely.
Mississippi is not his dream job.
No. The only thing you have down in Oxford, Mississippi is a barbecue joint inside of a gas station that's the best barbecue you ever had in your life.
Kiffin would have taken the Tennessee job, he would have taken the Florida job, he would have taken the Oregon job, he would have taken the Miami job. Any of those were offered to him, he would be gone.
I don't know what's going to happen. I'm of the belief that if we can be resurrected, Nebraska can be resurrected. I'm of the belief that they're a sleeping giant just like we are. As soon as you get the right coach for that school, they play in the weakest division of the second-best conference. They're a national power. It's a matter of time for them. But you know, Lane is on the way out now. Does Auburn? We can guarantee you a couple things. There's a couple things. Death and taxes. They're going to get you right in life.
Yeah.
Auburn will be looking for a new head coach, and I would about imagine that Lane Kiffin's going to be somewhere. He's getting the heck out of there.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially right now with the situation that Auburn's in. I mean, you had the off-season issues with your coach. You just had your athletic director, you know, get pushed out the door that just gave Bruce Pearl his massive contract. And, I mean, the bottom line is Brian Harsin wasn't the right hire to begin with, and now they're seeing it. And, what, this is only his second year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, year two.
Yeah, I mean, things have gotten bad down at Auburn, man. The football program is not where they want it to be. The concessions suck. Stale bread, putting pickles on the nachos, everything that Charles Barkley said about the Phoenix Suns.
Wow. I will say this much about Ole Miss. They are my second favorite uniform in America. That powder blue pops for me. I absolutely love everything about their color scheme. I don't know. Apart from our orange and white, I love that Ole Miss color scheme they have. And that powder blue, that was a mistake. The most beautiful color on a football uniform.
Oh, I've always said it's the second best accident in American history.
Man, I don't know how I feel about the whole Tim Banks stuff. So I know it's hypothetical when we're speaking, but I think they're doing their best on the recruiting trail to right their wrongs. And like there's just nothing they can do. They still just don't have the bodies back there. I mean, we thought Kamal Haddon was the better cornerback, and clearly,
oh man,
you know, and like the drive, those guys were talking about bringing back Warren Burrell, but Warren Burrell's no better.
Please no.
I mean,
no.
I don't get that talk. I mean, but I mean, the guy year two, I mean, I like his aggressive defense. I like how he plays defense. I just think they just need to get the guys in there, and they don't got the guys. But I wonder myself if he don't take another job somewhere. I think people in the know can look and tell that he knows what he's doing. So I wonder, you know, what his clock is, if he's here a year or two, or if he's gone at the end of the year, because I mean, he got some looks last year. So I wonder what he's going to do the end of this year.
You think he's going to take a head coaching job or another DC job?
No, I think anything defensive coordinator would be lateral. I think somebody, when you're at Tennessee and the SEC and all that, I mean, everything is high profile. I mean, I know that he was interviewing for a couple jobs, and I just don't think none of them lined up. You know, all the hot boards said it, and I think our running backs coach even was looking at, you know, so there's probably going to be some turnover. I would about imagine Golish will be the guy that gets some looks too. But I'm pleased with Banks. They just got to get some guys in there, and Willie Moe and those dudes, they're recruiting for it. It's just got to get the guys in there. But I love his scheme. I love how he's aggressive and fast. And he's coming at you. He told you that's what he's going to be like when they made the hire.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, we've been talking about how Lane Kiffin most likely leaving Ole Miss after this year. What if Tim Banks gets looked at for that job?
I mean,
I don't think he gets that big of a job, do you?
I don't know.
He could.
I would have to think it would be like a Mac or a
maybe Georgia Tech.
I mean, what heck? I mean, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. You know what he looks as a promotion for a job, but I certainly like to keep him around for a little bit. I do like the fact that Heupel lacks continuity, and you didn't see a lot of turnover. You know, you saw the wide receiver, the Cody Burns deal. That was that was the only thing in the offseason. That's going to be the next thing, is like what happens with the staff, because he's got a pretty good staff. But no matter what happens with the offense, it is his offense. And he, like, I think you all talked about a couple weeks ago, he does call the plays. Or if Golish has some input. But, like, I mean, it's his offense. So as long as he's here, the offense operates, you know, as it goes. So, but, yeah, just a couple of things I thought about today listening to y'all. Well, you all have a good rest of the night, and thanks. Keep it up.
Appreciate it, Daniel. That's a good one. Where does Tim Banks?
Forget about Tim Banks. I'm thinking if Lane takes the Auburn job or wherever he goes, if he leaves, I think they might look at Alex Golish as their head coach.
Well, they tried to get him as their OC.
That's what I'm saying.
Miami tried to get him as their OC.
They have some communication prior. I mean, they're the AD's familiar with him, and who knows? I mean, I still think Jeff Lebby should get a look for the Nebraska job. And maybe Jeff Lebby goes back to Ole Miss as the head coach if Lane leaves, because same guy, same system. But
everybody knows him already.
Yeah. But, I mean, I think Golish is going to get some looks. I don't know if it's going to be Ole Miss, that big of a job, but I do think he might get some looks for a head coaching job after this year.
It's going to be interesting to see for sure. Stay with us. Overtime continues. More Fan Run Radio on the way.
Guys, I've got...
Back here on Overtime, Fan Run Radio. Let's go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Tommy is standing by. What's up, Tommy?
How y'all doing this evening, boys?
Good.
I just hopped on. I heard you. talking about the potential Nebraska head coach. Y'all seen the rumors about Bill O'Brien down there in Alabama?
His name's been floated around a lot. And, you know, of course, he had the Penn State job. Of course, things didn't work out there. But, I mean, let's call it like it is. There's nobody in the country that could have made that job work with what was going on at the time.
No, like we've said before, you know, how you recruit up there, especially with NIL and everything going on. How you make that work?
No, you can't make that work.
There's nothing there. But, you know, you see his one of the top replacements for him, which kind of scares me to death.
Yeah, that's
Dan Mullen.
Yep.
You imagine him down there at the Alabama offense.
I don't even want to think about that. That's a scary thought.
No.
And like I said, the other night, you know, I was pretty lubricated, and I was going off on Twitter about firing Tim Banks. I've kind of stepped back on it and sobered up and looked back at, you know, everything that we're dealing with. The linebackers and defensive line, they look great. They couldn't run against us.
Oh, Rodney Garner, he has done a fantastic job with that defensive line. I mean, Omari Thomas, somebody that we didn't really talk much about before this year. I mean, he's setting himself up to have a career playing on Sundays, kind of like Matthew Butler last year. You know, he had came back for his senior year. Matthew Butler had one of the nicest guys I've ever had the pleasure of talking to. And, you know, I don't think he was even looked at as a potential NFL draft pick. And then I think he went, what, fourth round?
To the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah, so maybe these boys get the secondary in some shape this week. I really ain't worried. I should be, you know, because you play game to game, but I'm really not too worried about LSU. I think that's a team that we're more than capable of beating, even at Death Valley. Luckily, it's a noon kickoff, and we ain't got to go down there at night while they're all liquored up and ready to rumble.
No, yeah, Tommy, I'd agree. Just on paper and the way the teams have played so far through four games. And, I mean, we'll see what happens at Auburn this weekend, but I think we should blow them out personally.
Yeah, I'm about there too. Jake, I know you're a hell of a salesman. Listen to you every day, but the Alabama game, man, I'm still I think we can play with them offensively, but still the defense, you know. Bryce Young's a pretty good quarterback, and they're just loaded enough with studs. So, you know.
Well, Davis actually has an interesting stat about Bryce Young on the road.
So, Bryce Young has had 5 true road starts as Bama starter. 4 of those games were decided by 3 points or less.
Oh, yeah, like we said before, you know, if they wouldn't have just harbored ACL down there in Texas, I think Texas was going to beat them boys for 3 scores.
Oh, if Quinn Ewers was still in the game, they probably do win that ball game.
Yeah, and they win it, you know, big. I mean, it wouldn't – I mean, he couldn't do nothing. Every time he turned around, one of the Longhorns was in his face.
Yeah, I mean, that's that kid was playing the game of his life as well.
Yeah, I hated he went out. And I hated they lost Texas Tech from brother-in-law. And that crushed his soul. And I was just going to get him, hop on, holler at y'all for a little bit. I got to get out here and watch my little girl practice her soccer. So.
There you go.
All right, boys. I'll holler at y'all.
Appreciate it, Tommy. Let's keep it rolling. Westchester is up next. What's up, Westchester?
Before I get into how crazy you are for thinking we're going to beat Alabama,
I never said we were.
But you're trying to talk it into existence. But anyway, is this Kiffin stuff? Is this just based on that press conference about people not showing up? Is that why people think he's leaving?
That and, I mean, let's call it like it is, Westchester. They're not going to get to Atlanta. As long as Nick Saban is still at Alabama. And really, I mean, if somebody gets that Auburn job that's worth a damn, they're going to be fighting for it too. Because if you just have to get somebody decent to go to Auburn, because there's talent there, and it's not hard to recruit to Auburn. It's hard to recruit to Oxford, Mississippi.
No, but Auburn's not getting a head coach until they get an AD.
This is true.
Right.
This is true.
I mean, they're going to be the last ones at the table. They're going to get who's left with this hire at this point.
I mean, they need to hurry up and hire an athletic director. If I'm Auburn, like, that's priority number one. Because
you should make Bruce Pearl as your AD.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, he does things by the book, right? He runs a clean program.
Oh, it'd be...
That wouldn't be a problem, would it?
It'd be Tennessee 2009 all over again.
Oh, man.
They just need a crappy baseball team, and they complete the cycle.
All I've got to say about the rest of this football season is the same thing I've said the whole time. Just one game at a time. Stay focused. Keep your priorities straight, you know. Beating LSU would be nice. And, you know, there's no way in hell we're beating them if we play them this weekend. So we got a gift handed to us by the off week. We need to take advantage of that.
But, oh, and then you put the bow on it by giving us the noon game.
Yeah, yeah.
So let me ask you this, Westchester. How do you feel about my trend? The 2000 game. You lose one score. Then you win the next one by one score. Lose the next one.
I was hearing a lot.
Yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was saying, you win or you lose the one in 2000, one score game. 2005, you win one score game. 2010, you lose one score game. I think we're setting up for a win by one score. And I'm going to go ahead and say LSU covers the spread. I think it's going to be a three-point game.
Well, usually the team that scores the most points wins. And we're going to have to do that a lot this year. But
you're not wrong.
The LSU game is it's important because it's the next one, and we got a pretty good shot at that. That's important, but it's not whether or not we make it to Atlanta does not depend on LSU. It does not depend on the Georgia game. It does not depend on even the Alabama game. It depends on taking care of business against the bottom four and winning the games we're supposed to win. And then everything else falls in place. I do agree with you that if Tennessee can somehow take care of business, which again, I have right to be battered ball syndrome here and not cough up a game that shouldn't to a top 10 Kentucky or a scare liner with the dumbest coach in the history of, well, we had Derek Dooley, never mind. A terrible Missouri team, a candy team I'm not gonna say they're overdue, but. If we can take care of that, and we can somehow, do we have to split? Assuming we beat LSU, do we have to split Alabama, Georgia to be in the playoff talk? We can't do it with two losses, right?
You can't do it with two losses. Now, I think that if you beat Alabama,
what if your two losses are to the 1 and 2 seeds? Does that help?
No. No, I think the only way that you're in the talk for the college football playoff is if you either beat Alabama, lose to Georgia, then you're probably not going to Atlanta, which helps your case, because if Alabama gets beat by Georgia, they're going to let a one-loss Tennessee team in over a two-loss Alabama team. And that's just my opinion. Now, if you lose to Alabama but beat Georgia, obviously you're going to Atlanta. However, it means you got to beat Alabama after you've already lost to him. But I've also said, Westchester, it is hard to beat a team twice in college football. But at that point,
I've seen
both Tennessee and Alabama are probably going to the college football playoff, be a repeat of last year.
Damn. Which means?
Could you imagine playing Alabama three times in one season?
Well, wait a minute. So in your scenario where Tennessee and Alabama both make it, I guess I feel like I'm missing something here. What happens to Georgia?
Georgia probably doesn't make it. Because
why not? What does Georgia do to not make it?
That's the weird part of it, man. But what I'm saying is, like, if we lose to Alabama in the regular season, but beat Georgia, right. At that point you're 11-1. Georgia's probably 11-1, unless they drop a game.
We got the tiebreak. Yeah.
Exactly. And then you got Tennessee and Alabama in the SEC championship.
How about we beat LSU and Kentucky first, then worry about that?
Well, I know, but I'm just saying for hypothetical reasons,
I know. Yeah. You're trying. You got a job to do. I ain't mad at you for doing your job, but I don't think that they're quite hiring on the other station yet. But you can keep trying. You can keep trying. I'm sure they're listening. I'm sure they're loving what you're saying.
I know they are, but meh.
Last thing, and I'll get out of here. I think if Kiffin takes another job, I think he's got to go out of the SEC before he can come back and coach at Alabama after state police. I don't think he can go Ole Miss, Auburn, Alabama. I don't think you could have that track record.
Oh, it would be the greatest story in all of just, oh, my goodness.
And I don't think he's dumb enough to take that Nebraska job. But
no, he would not take the Nebraska job. I know that.
He might be able to win out there. You never know. That's going to be – I guess it kind of depends on what that conference ends up with. But that's probably he's probably 10 years too late for that job. He doesn't have the energy he did when – even though he's a lot smarter of a person and a more mature person, I don't think he's looking for a rebuilding job. I think he's looking to step in and win.
Yeah, he's already had, what, three rebuilding jobs, I guess, really. And then, you know – there's not going to be much rebuild to do at Auburn. That's why I think that's a very good possibility. And I don't think he goes to Georgia Tech just because that's just that's its own mess.
No, I mean, I don't even think Lane Kiffin could get an interview at Georgia Tech. I think they'd give him some sort of an IQ test before he even was allowed on campus, and he'd probably fail that.
Oh, the fun fact about Georgia Tech right now is like students want to do almost like an AI play calling system. It's like they call the plays, kind of like the fan-controlled football league. It's like they're just going to call the plays.
Well, I mean, someone's got to, right? Why not? Let's do it.
I mean, it can't be any worse than what they've had.
No.
It's just so weird that in real life they're so bad. But if you play NCAA 14, for whatever reason, they always find themselves in the top five and in the championship game.
Oh, I can beat any college football. I can win a national title with Navy, Army, Air Force. I can win with any team on the air. That doesn't matter. But I got a really, really last thing, then I'll jump off. Kiffin to ASU?
What'd you say, Westchester?
For the women. That's why.
Kiffin to ASU?
No. No. Not too much of a rebuild.
Interesting. All right, guys. Keep doing what you do. We love you. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Westchester. Stay with us. Final segment of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.
Craft X. You're hiding something cause it's burning through your eyes. I try to get it out, but all I hear from you are lies.
Final segment of Overtime right here on Fan Run Radio is brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Football season is underway, so now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because right now new customers get a no sweat free bet up to $1,000. That's free bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code Overtime. So Davis, I have got a same game parlay for tomorrow's Thursday night football game, and we're going to do just a $10 bet here. Pays out $171. So I've got Miami to cover 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
Jamar Chase anytime touchdown score. Joe Burrow over 268.5 passing yards. Chase Edmonds over 32.5 rushing yards. And Miami to be the first half winner.
I like it. For some reason, man, I have a feeling the Bengals might pull it out tomorrow night. So that's the rest of those seem like pretty guaranteed. But I'm just kind of nervous that you might lose out because I have a feeling.
Hey, as long as they don't win by more than three, I'm good.
Oh, you just have – oh, okay.
Yeah, he's got the Dolphins covering the spread.
Oh, sorry. I thought Miami was favored this game.
No, Bengals are minus 3.5.
Oh, okay. Yeah, then you're good. Yeah.
Yeah. So $10 pays out $171. So, guys, FanDuel, it's got all your favorite bets. Money line, point spreads, player props. Combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same game parlay like I just did. With live betting, you'll get updated odds on games that have already started, and you get paid your winnings fast, all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So sign up with the promo code OVERTIME for your no-sweat first bet. That's promo code OVERTIME. Make every moment more this season with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. Must be 21 and older and present in Tennessee. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call Tennessee Redline. 1-800-889-9789. Oh, man. It's just so weird that Tennessee, the Vols, that is, we don't play this week. But I feel like we all kind of needed that break.
I know I need it, personally.
I mean, after last week, yeah, that was incredible. That was amazing, you know, and it something I wish I could have sat down and watched the entire game, but of course, you know, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. It is what it is, but I was able to catch most of it, so it wasn't all bad. Just missed a couple of spots in the game, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking forward to just relaxing and just kicking back and watching some of the games. I mean, I'm going to watch that Clemson and Wake game, but I watched Kentucky and Ole Miss, obviously, but there's not too many, like, just blow you out of the water, like, amazing games that you have to watch, so.
I mean, it is what it is. Did you see where a zero-gravity soccer game broke a world record at 20,230 feet?
Where was this played?
It was a, see here, it says a Portuguese soccer legend, Luis Figo, and a team of international players put their skills to the test in zero gravity to break a Guinness World Record for a high-altitude game of soccer. Guinness World Record attempt organized by MasterCard saw a team of players from around the world board a plane specifically outfitted with an onboard soccer field, and the flight took a parabolic path to simulate zero gravity for the game at 20,230 feet. The game officially broke the Guinness World Record for highest altitude of football, soccer, on a parabolic flight. Incredible.
That is incredible. And I don't know if you've seen it. It's not quite 20,000 feet, but that picture of it's Federer, and I think it's either Nadal or Djokovic there.
It's Federer and Nadal.
Yeah, at that top of that skyscraper.
In Dubai.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I can't even imagine. Like, you get a ball past you, let it go.
Oh, I mean, that's kind of what I would do. That's when I was playing, that was one of the dream courts that I wanted to play on.
Oof. That would be a nervous wreck.
I've got to play on, of course, hard court because that's all we have around here. Well, I take that back. There's a couple of clay courts around here. I played on the standard gray clay and then the Euro clay, which is what you see at the French Open. And it's not all clay. It's basically carpet with clay on top of it, the red clay. I never got to play on grass.
Me and you need to go play sometime because I heard the Drive talking about LeBron investing into pickleball, but I'm kind of my mom's a huge pickleball freak and she's kind of got me into it now. But I mean, I've watched a little bit of tennis, like Wimbledon and the U.S. Open. And I kind of want to get into tennis a little bit now.
Oh, we can get you into tennis. That's not a problem. I've got an extra racket. Just don't break it like I did in high school. Slammed my racket down, like broke it beyond repair, and I thought my mother was going to beat me with that racket.
Kyrgios is the hothead. I like Kyrgios, but he has a bad temper sometimes.
Yeah, he's And I guess this is where I've been watching the game for a minute. To me, he's a wannabe John McEnroe.
Yeah, see, I'm a tennis casual. So I've heard of John McEnroe, but I never saw him play or anything.
Oh, he was the biggest hothead. Like, he was the hothead of the 80s and 90s.
Does he do the broadcast now with Reese Davis?
I think he does.
I think it's Reese Davis and John McEnroe because they did Wimbledon for sure. I know Reese Davis did for sure.
Yeah, when you get time, you need to look up on YouTube John McEnroe outbursts. They're hilarious. I'm not sure if they're safe for radio, otherwise I'd play them for you now. But he would go after the umpires, slam rackets, all that stuff, man.
Yeah. Sounds just like Kyrgios.
Now, I've only slammed one racket in my life. And it was probably the best racket I ever had. Of course, these are not your Walmart rackets. They're like $20-$30 or whatever. These are like your primo, like $150-$200 rackets. And then I understood once I bought my own why you don't slam a $200 racket.
The pickleball, those paddles get expensive because they're just engaged one that some people play with, and it's $200, and you can break those easily. There's been plenty of times I've been pissed, and I've throw my rack or throw the thing down or want to slam it, but those are not easy to replace either. So
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like once you get good, same way with golf. I mean, you can go buy a set of cheap clubs to learn how to hit on. But once you've perfected your swing to the way you like it, you go buy some better clubs. It's an expensive sport. Tennis can become an expensive sport.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you factor in everything you have to buy, baseball, very expensive sport. And if you want to play at the travel ball level, yeah, you're going to be paying a lot of money to be on those teams.
Yeah. And
which AAU wasn't cheap either.
No, I was just about to mention, basketball is about the only sport you can play with yourself. I mean, you get play golf, but you got to go get those balls somehow. But yeah, basketball is still expensive, and it's just kind of crazy to see. So,
I mean, football can be cheap, but, I mean, of course, everything is already supplied by your school.
Exactly.
So that's why football can be cheap. You just got to go buy a set of cleats, and if you want to go throw the ball around the yard, you just got to go buy a ball. Yeah, that's – you know, you never think about this stuff. You know, I just mentioned tennis rackets. It's like the more expensive ones you get, like the better it's going to feel if you played for a while. I can tell the difference between a cheap basketball and a more expensive basketball.
Oh, yeah. Evolution is the GOAT.
Evolution is the best basketball.
Ever.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the NBA is using now.
Yeah, they switched over to Wilson last year.
Yeah.
Spalding to Wilson.
And Spalding had been in the game for, what, 30?
A long time.
40 years, yeah. I mean,
a long time.
Since the 80s. That's going to do it for us. Davis. Another stellar performance by you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate you, buddy. Something else coming up next right here on WKGN. Tune in tomorrow for 3 and Out right here on Fan Run Radio.